And today I'm with Sapna Dhan-Sharma. And I know I said that completely wrong, and I'm sorry about that. But
no, you're fine, actually.
All right, well, Sapna is, she's originally from India, but she's been living in London for, well, since the early 1990s, for over 20 years or so. She was originally trained as a geneticist. That's right on par with a rocket scientist. She's a smart guy. And but she's now a photographer. She says photography found her, so welcome. And glad to have you here today.
Thank you, Bob. Glad to be speaking with you today.
Yeah, me too.
It was more like biochemistry and life sciences, but yes, I was going to pursue genetics after that.
Oh, only biochemistry and life science. Yeah.
Only that.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely not a liberal arts major then.
No. We didn't have much choices subject in those days. It was either science or art or finance or... So if I had more choice, probably I would have gone into something else. But yes, since I was doing well in science, it only made sense to continue my education in it. I never thought photography was much of a serious subject, not in those days anyway.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to complete my education. So I have something to fall back upon if something else failed.
Well, I'm sure your parents gave you a little choice, too.
Well. So yes, Bob, I'm glad to be here. And hello, nice speaking with you. And... what would you like to know about me now?
Oh, look at that. And you're taking over, too. That's okay. That's quite all right. Yeah, a couple things. First of all, I want to apologize for the audio. You know, we're on Skype. We record these by Skype. And so the audio is, I don't know, I guess a little mushy today. So please don't mind that because we've got... You know, our subject matter is excellent, and that's all that really matters. Mm-hmm. And so, Sapna, I wonder if you could just tell us briefly, you know, tell us about yourself. I mean, how you got into photography and what brought you to England and where you are today.
Yes, I'll tell you where I was born. I was born in India, in a small town called Pilani, which falls in Rajasthan state. It's on the northwest of India. It's called the desert state of India. And so I have spent some years there, but I've mainly lived in big cities like Bombay and Jaipur and Ahmedabad, which lies in Gujarat in the west coast. So I was brought up in city. I'm mainly a city girl, but we kept going back to our hometown. So Rajasthan, I don't know if you know about Rajasthan. It's a very colorful state, very much visited by the tourists. It's one of the most popular tourist destinations in India. So since I come from there, I have also started to photograph life in Rajasthan now. But before that, I mean, I went on to study sciences, never thought I would get into photography. I used to take pictures from my teen years since we had a camera at home. My father bought a camera. It was a Yashica manual camera. I used to take pictures, but never thought I'll get into photography. I never thought it would become a profession or a full-time obsession and a passion. So I did my master's in sciences, and then I met my husband in 1991. He was traveling around India. I met him. He's always lived in England. So I got married in 91, and I came here. I thought I would complete my doctorate in science. But that wasn't to happen because my husband also owned a camera at the time. He used to take pictures when he traveled around India. He had a Pentax Emi Super, a fine camera of the time, which he passed on to me and said, since I enjoy photography, why shouldn't I continue taking more pictures and pursue what I have a real passion in? So I started doing that. I enrolled into a part-time course here in London, which is the City and Guild School. It's a very basic course, but I wanted access to a darkroom where I can start developing and printing my own pictures. this is what I did. I went around streets taking pictures. I used to even shoot streets when I was in India, when I had my basic camera at the time. After learning a few techniques here, I thought, why not get into studio work? So I bought myself a set of lights. I started reading a lot of magazines, published work of other established photographers, and got really fascinated by artificial lighting in the studio. So for many years, I did a lot of studio experimentation. I thought photography was making people look beautiful, objects stand out. So I did all that. But you know what, to be honest, Bob, I have had a lot of interest. So if you ask me what kind of photography do you really enjoy, I cannot pinpoint. I enjoy a lot of different kinds of work. I also like to take pictures of people, portrait shots, those kind of things in studio. I also do still life when I'm free, when I have no one around, peaceful in my small studio. I do still life pictures. Then what happened was, I was doing a lot of studio work, taking private work from people, that kind of thing. Then what happened, a few years ago, I was in London photographing a model, and we were moving on to a location to do some photographs. In the meantime, I was taking pictures of the street. This is going back a couple of years. And this is where I have also mentioned on my website, if you look, the particular shot called Street in Soho.
Mm-hmm.
That's a simple name. Basically, it's a street in an area called Soho. So that is where we were. And when I came back, I saw that shot. And although I say random, it was a little planned. When I was taking that picture, that planned how, you know, there were a few people on the left standing, talking, and my model is walking in front. And the street, you can get a fair bit of an idea. There is a show going on called Jersey Boys, which you can see in the picture. So it was kind of planned. I planned it slightly, and I wanted it a contrasty type of shot. So when I came home, I noticed I got the shot that I wanted. And you know what? I know I might be completely biased because it's my picture, but I love that shot. And a few other pictures from that day I liked. And I thought, why am I not doing street pictures when I really, you know, enjoy doing that particular day? And I went again out a couple of times and I came back with more shots. And you know what? This is how actually I fell in love with street photography, because the more pictures I did, the more I started to enjoy. And for this last few years, I haven't really taken a lot of studio pictures, you know, to be honest, except for a few still lives here and there. But I have been continuously now doing street photos. Although even they keep changing. Sometimes it's street as like a landscape shot. Sometimes it's street people shots. Sometimes it's just a market shot. It varies. So I cannot particularly say what kind of work I like to do on street, but I still like generally looking at life on street, you know. So it just happened. You see, it just happened. My love for photography led me to doing street photography.
So. Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you there. So,
No. It's okay. I was nearly done, yeah.
Okay. So this photo, Street in Soho, this was basically your tipping point then.
I would say so, yes. It was.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you included it in the collection.
Yes, because that led me to, because I never thought before that, you know, to be honest, street photography, I have realized many people look at it as it is some kind of a trivial genre of photography where people unplanned just walk on street and start taking pictures. But it is actually not that. There is effort going in. People have to look at the street around them, people, the photographers, I mean, and they have to plan a shot in some ways. It's not just something that you just go and snap. It is not that. If you look at some of these street photographers who are doing work these days, they have some really excellent collection of photographs, which does not just happen. They have to have an eye for it. So it is kind of a conscious effort on their part. So it is not something trivial like some people make it out to be. It is a very serious genre of photography, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that about what people say about street photography. I have people ask me that all the time because I tell folks that We publish this magazine. I go, street photography? What's that? What do you do? Just walk around with a camera and take pictures of the street? I go, well, not really, but people who are interested in it certainly know what it is. So, it is hard to describe. I mean, how do you describe it to friends and families who don't quite get what you do?
As I said, you know, street photography is a genre. Yes, if you think about it, these old masters of photography, such as Henri Cartier-Bresson, what did he do? He did street photography. He was on street taking pictures, but nobody called him a street. I mean, although these days, yes, because street photography is now seen as a serious genre by people who know. But nobody questioned him, what do you do? Just go on street and just take pictures of people, just snap? No, I mean, he's a serious photographer. So street photography has various genres, like photojournalism, photo essay, documentary photography, people shots, even landscapes. I mean, street photography could be various types. It doesn't have to be just one particular. It's not like a snapshot. We go on a holiday, just take a snapshot of it. It's something more than that. It makes you think. When you take, for me, when I take a picture and I come home and look at a picture, at that particular time when I was taking the picture, I might not give a lot of thought to what the person is all about, the person in the picture. But when you come home and you open the picture, and over several days, when you look at that picture again and again, it makes you think the person's life, where the person's come from, the person's background, wonder what the person was thinking when I was taking that picture. Was the person happy? Not happy? Problems in their lives? You have so many things to sit and think about. I mean, I think that makes it very interesting because it's not a contrived shot. It's in a studio when you take a picture. It's totally contrived, obviously, because you make your subjects do according to what you want them to do. But when you're on street, that's not the case. So I think that's the beauty of street photography. It's that moment you have captured, which is never going to be repeated. For example, that street in Soho that I did, I actually went there twice again to do a similar shot. I just could not replicate it. I just could not. I had the same person with me, same scene in front of me, but the reason I was trying to do it once again was because I thought that was my first shot. Maybe if I try again and again, I'll get it better and better now that I'm making an effort in it. But it doesn't work like that. Once it's gone, it's gone, you know. So in my case, like, for example, I like to do a little kind of creative work with my photographs. I like a lot of contrast in my photographs. So when I started doing street shots, I didn't particularly want a person staring into my camera. I would do generally street shots where I would have people, even if they are blurred, it doesn't matter. It mm-hmm. gives a feel of the street. This is what I was doing. Then I thought, I went to a few markets in London and I found them very fascinating too. So I started taking pictures of them, people in their day-to-day lives, working, like the series I did, occupation, people working. And they are looking straight into the camera, most of them. But because in that case, that's how it works. I want them, I had to get close to them to take pictures. So that is a different type of photography, you know, where it all depends on exactly what you want to do. So I wouldn't say that I want to do one particular type of people shots or one particular type of street shots. I'm sure there are many in my kind of situation whereby they want to do different kind of things, although it all falls into the same genre of photography, but they're still different. Do you get my point, Bob?
Yeah, I do.
It's difficult to pinpoint sometimes, you know, because you might have various interests in photography as well. So I would not call myself a complete street photographer because that's not what I am. I do like to do other things too. So, there's not much more I can say about this.
No, but I agree. I mean, we talk to a lot of photographers on here, and I don't think there's any of them that only do street photography.
Mm-hmm.
And I think shooting different things and having other interests, I think, help round somebody out and help give them a little different perspective. than, you know, than somebody who only shoots on the street. I don't know, maybe we'll run into one somewhere.
And also, I mean, what I didn't mention earlier was that I enjoy writing stories too. I do like short stories, poetry. Someday I might want to publish my work. But while I do that, as I said, some years of my earlier life I spent in my hometown in Rajasthan. And when I was there, I spent my time with my grandfather, who would tell me a lot of stories, folk tales from around the area, those old fables. And so I grew up listening to that. So there was, I'm always in that dreamy world, where of imagination. So when I take certain type of pictures, when I take, I can tell there are kind of moody pictures. I think it must come from some kind of imaginative world that I live in. And yet, there are other, because I'm also interested in knowing about people's lives. So recently, I got into this documenting people's lives, documentary work, whereby I talk to people. I mean, I'm still in the process of doing that work. So within a year or year and a half, I'm hoping some of my assignments would be ready. It's still ongoing, you see. It's not on my site. It's still ongoing. I have pictures, I have documents. So what I do is I like, because I'm naturally interested in people's lives. I'm not the type of person who would go and wouldn't want to know about what is happening in people's lives. So when I thought I am writing about the kind of people I heard of when I was small, even characters in my stories. So that made me really, really interested in people's lives. So if I can do that in my writing, why can I not start doing it photographically? I do enjoy knowing about people's lives. I do want to know what kind of problems people have in their lives, what brings them happiness. Those kind of, little things, day-to-day lives. So I think that has led to more of the documentary kind of work that I'm now doing. I mean, I have done few some pictures which I have put on my site where I last visit to India. I was in Bombay and I took some pictures there. But I want to do more of this, and I am doing it. I make frequent trips to India, and even here when I go to London, I have a few projects in my mind which I really want to do. So I think a lot of people, when they photograph, it does stem from their personality, what kind of people they are. I think it leads into their work. So in my case, I think my early childhood, my story, listening to stories, writing stories, that is kind of leading in my work now. So I believe, I think how your life is, that shapes up your work as well.
So you're a storyteller, and I think that's probably one of the best skills you can have is to be able to tell a good story, write a good story, photograph one. And when you said you were doing some documentary work, are you you know, of particular people, are you photographing, say, the same person or family over a long period of time,
No,
or?
no, it's not the same person, but it is related to some issues which I believe are close to my heart. So I have always wanted to do that, but I was thinking initially to write about it. But now that I have found this photographing people, work that I do now, I thought this is the best way to bring the story out to other people too. Visually, it can make a lot of difference and impact. So writing, sometimes many people might not read what I write, but photographs are right in front of you, and you can deduce a lot visually. You can, so it can have more impact if I bring certain issues in front of people graphically. This is what I'm working on.
Wow, that's very interesting. I hope you start sharing those as well.
I will surely. I mean, as I said, it's not complete yet, but in time, as I have to write along with taking photographs. It's two jobs I'm doing at the same time, you see. So, and also, I cannot stretch my stay when I'm there, because I have two daughters and I'm kind of a full-time mother as well. So I, when I go, it has to be like 6-7 days at a time. Then I have to rush back. And this is why it takes a little longer than for most people who are in their area and can spend 3 months in a go, you see.
Yeah.
So it's probably by next year, I'm hoping something concrete will come out of it. And I should have like a story ready to share with people. Yes, of course, I'll definitely share with everyone. Yes.
Yeah, that's a long way to go for such a short period of time. So you do a lot of photography in England and in India, two very different places. I mean, do you see your work there with different eyes because they're so different, or do you have the same approach in both places?
No, the approach is very different, Bob. What happens is, see, every culture is different. In India, I noticed one thing, that people are very approachable. In fact, many of my European friends think that if you want to start into street photography, India is a street photographer's haven. So if you want to, it is, you find things very accessible there. If you want to approach people, it is easier. Over here, it's different. Obviously, it's a cultural difference. People have more, people are a little more like, what you said, they do not like other people invading in their, you know, private space so much,
mm-hmm.
which is understandable. So you have to respect that too. So the kind of work you do here has to be different from the kind of work you do in India. You have to, and I have been lucky in knowing both the cultures because I have lived in London now since 1991. So it has been quite a long time. And same in India, I grew up there. So I'm familiar with, obviously, the culture there. And I know people in the cities where I lived in. I know people very well in those areas, friends, families. So it is very easy for me, as opposed to a tourist coming to India and trying to do the same thing. For me, it is fairly easy. You know, it makes a lot of difference if you know people, know areas, you know where to go, where to avoid, all that sort of thing. So it's very different to doing things here. There I can approach, say, if I want to, say, work in an organization and I'm covering the story, all I have to do is make a phone call, make an appointment, and there is, you can build up that rapport very quickly, and you say, this is what you do and this is what you want to do. So a kind of trust can be built in very easily. People are a bit more trusting. So this is what I feel. And although here also, I find, I mean, Londoners, they're fairly friendly people as well, because there is more understanding of street photography in England. So that also makes it easy in some ways, because they do understand that you are a photographer, and they do give a lot of importance to creativity. So they do understand the creative side of this business. So I have noticed, I mean, initially there was a reluctance in going and talking to people here in London. Like when I remember when I started doing street photography after that shot in Soho, and I used to go to London, I used to join with a group of people and go, because I alone didn't know how to, you know, because it was fairly new to me. I felt very shy going to people asking if I can take some pictures, do you mind? Even though they're not looking, but sometimes I would be hesitant, because I thought, just in case when I'm trying to take the shot, they look at my camera and, you know, turn away or feel odd. So I would go with a group of people, and I clearly remember all of us would go and say, oh, we are just students of photography and we are trying to and they would not mind. Once you ask, usually people don't mind. I have only had one or two instances where people said no. And you respect that. You just say,
Okay.
Yeah. And just move on and do something else. But it's fine. I mean, I don't see any problem people have when you're photographing them. Obviously, when you're doing candid shots, they don't even find out. But when you are actually doing shots where they are looking into the camera, they're fairly open about it. And they don't really mind, because I think they're very used to photographers, especially city people, they're very used to photographers being all over the place. You know, if you go to London, there's so many street photographers, so many tourists. So I think they're used to facing the camera all the time. So that is one thing which makes it easy for a photographer to be on street in London. So I guess both places has its advantages and disadvantages. So it is all right, you know.
Yeah, because I think sometimes when you go to a new place, you're so overwhelmed with the newness that sometimes you don't see what's really going on. I know that.
Yes.
That happens to me. And yeah, you have to be there and be familiar.
Yes, and also sometimes do you realize when you are in a new place, it's also better because nobody knows you, first of all. So it is easy. You are not going to bump into people who know you. You are, I kind of enjoy being in a new place because it's everything is so fresh. And photos that you take are different to photos you have done before. And the people there are different to the people you bump into regularly. I kind of enjoy being in a new place. And also, in street photography, from my experience, I don't know how other people's experience has been, but when I started to plan too much, everything started to go haywire.
Mm-hmm.
When I started early, I didn't even think about taking photos. I was coming out with better results. And now that like last few instances, it has happened so that I went to take out. I made a conscious effort, wake up in the morning, get dressed, all nice jacket, rainproof, everything, you know, very well prepared to do street photos. And I came back very disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I thought, when I'm planning so much, how come I'm getting worse? So then I realized the secret is don't think too much. Go with your gut feeling, what you've been doing before. If you like the scenery, don't, you know, when you're trying to think too much, things don't go as planned. Because street changes all the time. You cannot plan in advance what you're going to do. Yeah. So best is just be there. If you like something pleasing to your eye, do it if that's what you want to do. Don't plan too much. That's what I have now realized. And this is what I'm going to do in future. You know, except for the documentary work, which I have to obviously draft a plan for. But besides that, just enjoy yourself on the street.
So you said, I've heard you say a couple times you go into London to shoot. Is it safe to say that you live outside the city?
I am in the city. I'm in West London.
Oh.
But I'm 10 minutes away from the center.
Oh, I see.
So, yes, it's not far, actually. And I tend to take the tube, which is very close to my house. So I just take a tube. Sometimes I go by car, but car is not the same. The moment you go on the station and on the tube, you have street right in front of you. You have street photographs. You have people sitting on the train. You can start taking pictures right away. So you are in that atmosphere of taking photographs. In the car, you're a little restricted because, first of all, London is also very congested.
Mm-hmm.
So finding a parking space, half the time you lose the mood of taking photographs when you have to struggle for parking. And if you're there, say, for 5 to 6 hours, you spend a lot of money just on the parking ticket. And obviously, tube is very convenient. You just get off. Start taking pictures the moment you come out of the station.
Yeah,
so,
you're.
And 10 minutes from here is not that far. So it's very convenient for me. So I that's what I do.
Yeah, your public transportation there is so good.
It is.
Why not use it? Yeah, you'd be crazy to drive in London, I think. You know, I personally, I always feel very uncomfortable trying to shoot people on the metro or the subway. I just got this thing in the back of my head. I feel like I'm invading their private space, you know, because what happens, you get on the metro and you just sit there in your own little space, you know, either looking at your phone or reading or whatever. And I don't know, that's just how I feel. But I see so many great shots taken in the subway too.
But you know what, when I take pictures, I'm not supposed to let them know I'm taking their
Yeah.
pictures.
Well, I just feel so obvious too, sitting here with the camera. My camera's really quiet, so.
I'll tell you one instance. I had acquired my new iPhone a few years ago, and I was on the train, and I was with my girls actually, and we were going for some shopping. But since I always have some form of camera with me, phone or compact camera or anything, I always have one. So I told my daughter that I'm going to start taking pictures of people, but let's pretend we are just looking into some messages.
Oh, really?
And
Yep.
children don't like that. Children feel that their parents are embarrassing sometimes.
Oh, yeah,
And
constantly.
they wouldn't agree with me, so they just stood a little away from me, to avoid the embarrassment. And some interesting people, nicely dressed, very trendily dressed, were in front of me, and they were using their mobile phones. And I wanted to do a series on people doing mobile phone use, using mobile phones. So I thought, yeah, I start now. And I took pictures. I did not know that the flash was left on. I was under the impression that I had switched that off. But I didn't know. It was a new phone and I was not familiar with the controls. And each time I took a shot, I saw people looking at me.
Well, at least they were pretty well
It's
lit.
only when I got off and took some pictures of my daughters that I realized the flash was left on. And you know what? I felt so embarrassed afterwards. And I thought, oh my God, no wonder they were looking at me each time I clicked.
Yeah, you're the Bruce Gilden of the iPhone.
And yes, now I leave my flash switched off at all times, because when you are on tube, you cannot actually point a camera at someone. But phones are convenient because everybody has got phone in front of them. You never know, somebody might be taking a picture of me at the time. So yeah, so phones are very convenient for that. But sometimes I do end up taking pictures with my cameras too. Bigger cameras are a bit difficult. With an SLR, it does become a little. But if you have a compact, most times you can't tell if somebody's taking a picture.
Yeah,
But
that's
still,
true.
it's very difficult because they are so close to you on the tube. It's a very small space. It is difficult, but it is workable.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know a lot of people who shoot with a mobile phone will use the they'll put the earbuds in and then use the at least on the iPhone use the volume up button, which triggers the shutter. So you can look like you're looking at your
Controlling.
email or whatever and take shots.
Yes, it happens. Yes, many people are doing that these days. iPhone
Yeah.
photography or iPhoneography or something they call it. Yes, many people are doing it. Cameras are quite good now on the phones. In fact, I bought a Sony Xperia Z when it came out with a 13 megapixel camera. I thought, that's it. I'm getting rid of all my heavy stuff now and just sticking to this camera because it has a powerful camera. But you know what? It's not the same, I realize, unless it's just me. But I don't feel very comfortable taking photos with a big phone. And it's fairly big, actually. It's disappointing because it's a very big screen. So when you're pointing at someone, it's very obvious. Only certain type of photographs you could do with a phone, unless you attach that small lens that is available these days, a little attachment zoom lens, I think. I have seen some phones, phone companies have this like a
Yeah.
extra lens which you can attach to for close-up pictures. I'm not sure. I mean, I've never used it, but I just saw it in one of the magazines that you can buy now. But it's all down to people. I mean, whatever they feel comfortable
That's
with.
right. Whatever works.
Yes.
Yeah, I think those attachment lenses probably leave a lot to be desired because they're just, you're basically bolting them on the outside. But hey, if it works for you, that's great.
Exactly. I mean, I personally feel very comfortable with a small camera, although at this moment I'm using an SLR, which for some reason I'm reluctant to go out much these days because I find it too heavy to carry. With big lens, I'm going to stick to small cameras in future.
So what camera are you using now? Which
At the
is?
moment, I am using an EOS Mark II. I have usually a 24 to 105 USML lens attached to it. But I also have a pancake lens, which is a 40mm, which is a very nice little lens, actually. And it does a lot of good, you know, I mean, it's the clarity is there, and it's an impressive lens, 40mm pancake. But it's the camera body that I feel is too heavy to carry around. So I am planning, I mean, I have used all different cameras, such as Fuji S2 Pro in the past, a Pentax K5 II that had come out. And so, because I have always been a Pentax user, you see, from before, I have very nice Pentax lenses, the prime lenses. And Pentax used to make excellent lenses before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even now they must do, but I haven't been using the modern Pentax lenses, but I have the ones from before. And I had bought a few Pentax cameras because the old lenses fit on the new cameras, you see. But some of them are manually adjusted. So I have used, I mean, Fuji, I've been very impressed with Fuji in the past. I have used Fuji cameras and they are very nice. So I am thinking of buying a Fuji X Pro one, is it? The new one that has X Pro one, I think. The compact camera that has come out.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get one of those because I have heard great reviews about it. So I'm hoping if I buy that, it's fairly compact. I can go out more without having to worry about taking care of my heavy kit, you know. Yes. The reason I used to buy these cameras because, as I said, I used to do more of studio work.
Sure.
So for studio work, I needed a camera that could do a lot more, you know, and the results have to be there. So Canon Mark II, it gives good results, and the L lenses are really superior lenses. So this is one of the reasons why I ended up buying more of these kind of kits. But as I said, now I'm getting more interested in street photography, so I have to look the part.
That's right. You've got to have that retro-looking camera.
Exactly. I have one small one, which is a Canon G-Series G9, which is fairly old now. It's a couple of years old. But it takes fairly good pictures, even now. So sometimes I do carry, when I don't want to carry a big camera, I do carry the small one with me at all times.
Yeah, I've had a number of the Canon Gs.
Mm-hmm.
And probably my favorite was the G9.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it to my daughter. Sometimes I wish I still had it, but the shutter's a little slow on them. There's a bit of a lag, but you know, I started. I remember once going on a trip over there to the UK, and I'm thinking, gee, do I take my SLR with these lenses? And I said, you know, I'm just going to take this. I'm going to take my G9, maybe it was a G7 at the time. I never missed the big camera.
I mean, there was a time when I also started taking pictures. When I used to do work in the studio, I had bought a Hasselblad with three lenses, actually. Not even one. Three
wow.
Lenses.
That's an investment.
Like a gift from my husband. And I used to tell him that I'm the only amateur in the world who owns a Hasselblad with three lenses. I did a lot of fine art kind of work with Hasselblad. Although at that time, I thought I'm experimenting with this camera and none of my pictures are good enough. But now looking back, I mean, I'll tell you, most of my work is lying in India because we had gone there to settle myself with my family. And we came back after a few years of staying there. So I had taken all my work there. So pre-2007 work is lying in India. So next trip, I'm planning to bring all of it back and paste it on my site. So a lot of my work that I did with my medium format camera, which is kind of fine art work, I looked, this time when I went, I saw those pictures and I thought, they aren't too bad, actually. I don't know why I didn't have confidence in those photos at the time. So and now you can see, like, I have actually tried to do different kind of work because not a single work I could say is that's what exactly I want to do. And yet I want to do different, a lot of variety of work. Do you? I don't know if you have come across anyone who has the same kind of, what do you say, urge to do various different kind of photography. Have you?
Always. Oh, yeah. I mean, some people want to do it all. So I think
I mean,
that's
I
very
know
healthy.
sometimes you end up getting branded as a jack of all and master of none, but that's just in your nature. I mean, you just want to do, you know, you just don't feel satisfied by just doing shots of, you know, subjects in your studio. Sometimes you do want to see life outside as well and experiment with streets. Sometimes you want to go on mountains and take some landscapes. And I think photography is, you cannot categorize because there's so much, you know, you look at so many things around you. So if you're a photographer, your camera looks at those things around you. So it's one and the same thing. You do not discriminate, you know, between scenes and subjects with your eyes, do you? So why do you have to discriminate with your lenses? I mean, isn't a camera and a lens a photographer's eye? So that's how I look at it, you know.
Well, it reminds me of a quote that I read from your website that said, "Do you have different categories of eyes?"
Yes.
Yep, that's
That's
what you,
exactly. It just came
yeah.
to mind one day when people ask me, "Oh, street, what is street?" Oh, and sometimes I do see that how people look at it. Oh, apparently she thinks it's up and coming these days, this genre. I can see what they're trying to get at, but this is what I think. Why not? I mean, don't we, when we go out, do we close our eyes? Don't we look at street around us? So why can't we do the same thing with our lens?
I agree. And what else, how else are you going to know what you like if you don't try everything? I
Yeah,
mean,
maybe someday I would be able to tell that this is what I like most. At this stage, I can't.
By the way, I meant that about photography, not like heroin or something like that. So you don't want to say that to your kids. So. Hey, let's take a look at some of your photos. You've got, I don't know, really very rich body of work on your website. And one of the photos, probably the first one that I saw, and as a matter of fact, we published it in a previous issue as one of our shooters of the month. And that's your photo called Drilling with a big banner of Bob Marley. Yeah, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is. This was taken in at Camden Market, which is a market in London in Camden Town. I was there with a group of photographers. We were taking pictures of the market, people selling all sorts of things. And I saw this, as I walked, I noticed this person who's in the photo. He was selling all sorts of musical CDs, downloads, etc., as you can tell from the pictures. And at the same time, he was preparing to spray paint something. And behind him hung this huge Bob Marley wall hanging, adding color to the wall. I found this very interesting in terms of the Bob Marley thing that captured my eye. So as I pointed my camera towards the stall, this gentleman who was preparing, he just stood up. I don't know if he saw me or he didn't. I'm not sure about that, but he stood up and he crossed his arms and he still has those paint cans in his hand. And he just stood there. And just at the right moment, I was able to capture that shot. And so it's almost like, you know, he had received some military order to practice. You know what drilling means, making a hole through a wall or tiles with a masonry pin or other material. But other meaning is also like subjecting someone to military training exercise. So when I took this picture, it was almost like he received some order to stand up, and he was wearing this oxygen mask which was to prevent himself from the spray. So when he stood up, it reminded me of the World War II time when many London homes received oxygen masks to prepare themselves for such events, you know, like a bomb dropping or something. But this image for me was like photographing a drilling exercise. And instantly when he stood up, that's what I thought, you know, he's some kind of training to put the mask on and practice with to breathe through the mask. So it was just a very casual caption I gave because that's what I thought when I took the picture. So I thought, why not just call it drilling? It's with that oxygen mass. So it's mainly to do with that, you know, no other reason.
Yeah, that was
but I found that whole thing very colorful, very interesting. Bob Marley is obviously it's instant, you know, what do you say, captivating, hanging in that picture. So, and you can see vaguely his number one love half, vaguely you can see on top of the hanging. So, yeah, so mainly it was a very, very quick shot, but it seems to work.
Yaman, we be jamming. So, I'm going to bounce back and forth between London photos and India photos.
Yes.
So we give them equal time. And I think one of my favorites is Street Girl in Bombay. Before I ask you this, before we talk about the photo, so why are you calling it Bombay?
Bombay.
You know, everybody
yes.
I talk to calls it Mumbai.
Yes, they do.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because when I lived in Bombay, it was known as Bombay.
Okay, all right.
So, and now that I have been away from India for a long time, that name just sticks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has just stuck, and I can't seem to change. I mean, if I lived in India, probably listening to people every day calling it Mumbai now, I would have probably started calling it Mumbai. But now that I'm away, you know, you stick with the name that was with you when you left. Just that.
I understand. That's about what I thought, but I decided to ask. I'm just curious about everything.
No harm. It's all good.
So this photo, Street Girl of Bombay, it's so captivating. Her eyes are just, you know, you can't take your eyes off of them. And so what can you tell us about this photo?
This was taken a few years ago when I was visiting Bombay. I was with my family in my car, and our car stopped at traffic lights when this girl came to the window. She was trying to look through the glass because there was glare obviously on the outside of the glass. So you can see that she's trying to focus on our faces inside, you know. And when she did that, I could see her beautiful, big, hopeful eyes. And she was a little beggar girl, obviously, hoping to get some money from us, which I did, obviously, to her when she came. But before that, I thought I'll take this picture because this moment would be lost once I gave her the money. And it had to be very quick because traffic lights would change any minute. So I thought her eyes were very captivating. So I had a small camera on me, this G9 that I'm talking about. I had that on me. So I had this split seconds to capture those eyes, tiny hands above her head, both resting on the window, as you can see, and that purplish green dress that she was wearing. So I managed to get this shot. Once I took, I didn't get it. I had to be very quick for the second time because the first one was a little blurry. So the second I took was what I desired, which is the one that you see. So, I mean, I don't know if you have seen much of Steve McCurry's work. There mm-hmm. is one picture he has, which is very similar to this one. Maybe I was inspired by him mm-hmm. when I was taking this. I'm not sure. But, I mean, I did think of him later on when I saw this picture on my computer after getting home. It was kind of a reminder of that picture, which he also had taken in Bombay of this woman with a child.
Mm-hmm.
Standing outside his car window. I don't know if you remember those. That picture was also captured at traffic lights by him.
Really? Yeah.
So, yes. So, when I took this picture after coming home, I thought, my God, this is kind of a reminder of Steve McCurry's photo. So, I don't know. Back of my mind, I might have thought of Steve McCurry's image while taking the picture, or that idea might have come from there. I'm not sure at this moment, but I thought this was a very fascinating shot at the time, you know. And yes, I mean, I some of these, you know, like everyone is biased about their pictures, but some pictures I truly do like the one you chose earlier, drilling, that you said. And when you said you want to feature that photograph, and I thought, my God, this is my favorite photo too. And again, this picture of Street Girl of Bombay, when you do, I thought, this is my favorite as well. So there are some pictures I do, you know, personally like, which I'm quite glad you like them too, because that means it has worked.
So you mentioned Steve McCurry, and so when you look at other people's work, mm-hmm. what do you tend to be drawn to?
As I said, Bob, you know, there are different types of work that I enjoy doing. So naturally, there are different types of photographers' work that I enjoy looking at. Steve McCurry is one of them. I might not 100% do the kind of work that he does, because, he also concentrates on Southern Asian countries a lot. And India is one of them. So he does a lot of documentary and photojournalistic type of work. So I do like his images a lot. In fact, his work is impressive. And but there are other photographers also, such as Irving Penn. I don't know if you have looked at his work. Irving Penn is one of my inspirations, because he also liked doing a lot of different variety of work. He used to do fashion. He used to do still life. He used to do people shot, portraits, documentary, photojournalism. So many different variety of work he has on his portfolio. And I thought, yes, so there are people like me who do like to do various, you know, mm-hmm. genres in photography. So, and again, Bresson, I like his work. I like the contrast in his work. I like his shots. And some of my images kind of remind me of his work, because I do like those moody shots. So he's one of them. Raghu Rai is another magnum photographer from India. He has captured life in 60s and 70s in India. And his work is, I like to look at, because it's day-to-day living, day-to-day life in India. He's captured very impressively. So I like his work. I mean, there are other photographers I like to, you know, observe. Sure. But I wouldn't say one particular photographer is an inspiration. There are quite a few, and there's so many good modern photographers too. Street photographers, some of them are so impressive, and their work, and you can imagine their imagination is running wild while they're taking those pictures. So I cannot pinpoint which one.
No, that's too okay.
Many. Too many.
Hmm. All right, let's keep talking about your stuff here. I go back to London again. Mm-hmm. Another one of my favorites is called Life, Monochrome versus Color.
Yes. I mean, I know which one you're talking about, but yeah. Just let me look. Yeah. Hmm. I know, yeah, that shot of a person playing the harp.
Yeah, he's probably in the tube, I guess, huh?
This is, again, you know, after doing the Soho photos initially, I had planned to take more pictures of the area. Yeah, Soho is in West End of London. And again, it does not take very long to go there by tube. And I have been visiting Soho a lot, because I enjoy photographing that area. So there are two stations which I take. One is Leicester Square Station, and another at times I take is Tottenham Court Station. So this photograph, I was coming back home on Tottenham Court Road Station. Sorry, it's not Tottenham Court Road Station. When I got into the station, I saw this person playing the instrument, harp. And he looked very dignified, this gentleman. And next to him was this photograph of this film, The Skin I Live In. And I saw this. The photograph initially was taken in color. When I came home, I saw the photograph, and I planned to just leave that part in color, the film poster, and the remaining was monochrome, black and white I turned into.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, as I said, the caption I gave was Life, Monochrome versus Color. That's exactly how I thought of it when changing into black and white, the remaining photograph. Because I thought, on one side you have this film poster, and you can imagine the lives of those people, the characters in the films, full of color. And on the other side, there is life of a person trying to earn a living, make ends meet. It kind of, you know, it was contrast. This is why I gave those contrasting colors as well. It just, I don't know if the caption fits or not, but for me, it fits. So, That's one of the reasons, because that is how life is. Some people have it. Some people have a lot. Some people don't. This is why I called it monochrome versus color. You know, colorless and color mainly, basically.
Yeah, I really like how you did this, and wish I would have thought of something like that. It just the you know, one thing I also find fascinating is how and why people name their photos. Some people don't name them anything. Some have very interesting ways, and you know, you obviously put a lot of thought into that.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Oh, well, you're welcome. All right, let's just jump back over to India again.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, we're just going to be, you know, traveling around the world. So here's a photo I also like called Bliss.
Bliss,
yeah,
yes.
You took a shot of these guys in the back of a truck.
Yes.
And tough one to get. It was moving.
Yes, you can see there is that blur in the photo. It's that was not meant to be. It just happened.
Yeah.
Yes. Only part of the truck has actually been focused.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you the story behind it. This was taken on National Highway, which runs throughout India, outskirts of the cities, it's like motorways in England. And I don't know where you call them highways as well, I think. So this is in Northwest India. We were traveling. We had taken a trip from Delhi to Rajasthan to Gujarat to Bombay, and we were traveling, entire family. We planned to travel around India in a car because that's the best way to see the country. So what happens is India usually stays quite hot in summers, especially the temperatures rise to mid 40s. Right now it's in mid 40s. These areas, they're very hot. This photograph was around July or August. That's where the rain sets in, monsoon season. People look forward to this season. So after the soaring temperatures, it's welcome, you know. So what happens is, while we were in the car, we saw this truck on the left-hand side. We were about to overtake the truck, actually. So these laborers were taking a ride on the back of a truck. And while our car was about to overtake it, I was on the front passenger seat on the left, because we have right-hand drive cars there, you see, same as in England, opposite to the ones in the US.
Yeah.
So I rolled the window down, and the rain soaked me and my camera completely. Hmm. It was pouring, you know, at that time. We were moving so fast. The truck was moving fast. This is why the image blurred. And those people were looking at us, obviously. Very happy, very content, pleased with the rain. It's a really exciting moment of the year, you know, when the rain sets in. The feeling cannot be described here. Hmm. You have to be there to understand. It's a blissful time. And the excitement is in the air. It's evident in those people's faces. So when I looked at the picture, you wouldn't believe, for 1 year I discarded the picture completely. When I was about to delete it, throw it away, bin it, this is when I realized, hold on, why am I throwing it? Because this picture is how it should be. Okay, it's blurred, but you can see the excitement in the picture, you know, when of the season. And I actually sent this picture to one of the competitions in the societies. I don't know if you've heard of the societies. They run these magazines and competitions regularly. And they had actually pasted this picture on their Twitter and Facebook site. So they I'm sure they might have found something interesting in the picture to do that. So I thought this was a good idea that I did not win the picture, because now this is one of my favorite pictures, actually. Hence I call it Bliss, because of the excitement behind it, you know?
Yeah, there's some lessons here, I think, because earlier you talked about just not having any expectations. And if you're just riding in the car, you know, you're not expecting to get, you know, the photo of the century. And it just came upon you and you saw it. You took it. And I think another lesson is, don't edit your photos with that little screen on the back of the camera. I think maybe if you would have just looked at this on the small screen and maybe not thought much about it. But when you look at a larger size, I mean, it's a very strong photograph.
Like many times when I do street shots, it's not just people photos that I like to do. I do like to take people photos as well, but sometimes I just like a street scene, and I like to make those long exposures whereby people are completely blurred, but you get the feel of the street when you look at the pictures. You might not see the people clearly, so it's not necessary for everything and everyone to be in focus in a picture. Pictures have to work for you. When people looking at the picture, they should feel that there is something they are observing in that photo. So like it should narrate a kind of story. So as long as that happens, visual narration is there, it's fine. At that, I have learned over a period of time. There was a time when it has to be perfectly focused. When you're a newcomer, you want everything to be perfect. Oh, the lighting is not clear. Let's discard this picture. Oh, that's not fine. Let's discard this picture. Oh, it's not focused. Oh, the eyes are not focused. But there comes a time when you realize, and obviously in a fashion shot, you need all that. You cannot have magazine, fashionable pictures totally blurred or out of focus. But I'm talking about in general the kind of work that we are doing now. We have totally different standards to set. And it should just narrate a story. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's a very important lesson, I think. All right, I've got time for another one or two more here. We'll jump back to London, and there's a photo of a girl on a step. It's called "Here's Looking at You, Kid."
Yes.
Obviously, you must be a Casablanca fan, huh?
Yes, you got it.
And I want to ask you a question about this. I heard another publisher. I don't know if you know who Don Springer is. He's one of the publishers of Inspired Eye. They do a really good podcast. He and his partner Oliver, and he made a comment that really stuck with me a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. He said, most good photographs are, in some way a self-portrait or tells a story. It relates to you somehow. And so I look at this photo, and I wonder if you could tell me, how does this photo relate to you? How is this a reflection of yourself?
It's my favorite film, and my husband's favorite film too. We love that. That's one thing. So, and obviously, you just said it is from Casablanca, this line, famous line used by Humphrey
Oh,
Bogart,
yeah.
David Bergman.
One of my favorites.
Yes, and this image was actually taken outside a vintage magazine shop in Soho again, where I'm doing my series in London. And this shop sells all the old memorabilia, souvenirs, and collectibles of old film and rock and roll legends. And the Bogart mannequin statue that it's at the entrance of the shop. I saw this young girl sitting outside, and she sat very briefly because I know her family was waiting for her. They had left the shop and they were waiting and calling her, and she must have been tired that day. So she just sat down, being a little grumpy like kids are. She was sitting there, and I thought, I saw Bogart's mannequin and I saw this girl sitting, and I instantly thought about the kid and Bogart, and it made sense. Why not I take this picture? Because I knew what I was going to caption it. So I took that picture and it's in front of you. So, and I did that because soon after that she left. In fact, I also have another picture where I have my daughter standing there. I put that up on the site because it was very recent. She was standing there eating a chocolate. I don't know what she was doing or just taking her camera because she is doing photography in her GCSE as well, my daughter. So she was with a camera taking pictures, and I took a picture of her standing right on those steps. So I have actually two pictures with the same caption.
Why not? Did you tell her to stand there, or you just happened to be in that spot?
No, I didn't ask her to stand there. She was standing there, trying to see what to photograph. She has a camera in, or a phone camera, or one of those cameras, or G9, I don't know, in her. It's hanging on her, around her neck. So I have two pictures, but since this was taken earlier, I have that on my site. My daughter's one is very recent, that I haven't processed yet.
You know what's unusual about this photo is the fact that there's this teenage girl sitting there and she's not looking at a smartphone.
No, exactly. That's true. That's true. In fact, my daughter is the same. I have to force her to carry a phone. She wouldn't otherwise. My 15-year-old, she's 15. I mean, most 15-year-olds are always texting.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
So she's one of those children who do not like to go by the flow. My younger one is totally different. She's always on the phone.
Yeah, neither of mine used the phone much.
Good, good.
You've got I want to look at one more from India, and the last two we have here are both really good, but I'm going to choose Chai Break.
Okay, chai break. I think
Yeah, I really like this one.
about, yes, but I'll just open it on my, yes, chai break. This photograph was taken in a small place called Chomu, which lies outside of Jaipur, which is in Rajasthan. Jaipur is the capital city. And I got out the car because we stopped at a marketplace. And I was trying to be very discreet when photographing these women. Why? Because in some places, especially Rajasthan, women tend to shy away when they notice somebody's photographing them. They cover their faces with their saris. So when I was taking this picture, I thought I have to be very quick before they could see me. Chai, you know, chai means tea. Chai. So it's a tea. I mean, it was afternoon. These are laborers coming from nearby areas, building works, coming for a break. They're not particularly having chai. They might be just eating a snack or something. But it's tea time in the afternoon where they come for a break. It's something like in Britain, they ask, "What will you have for tea?" That does not particularly mean tea. It means, "What kind of snacks would you like with your tea?" You know. So they are sitting there, and I took this picture. But in the meantime, this man walked in front as I took this picture. But I just had to take it because after this moment, again, the moment was lost. Because after that, they noticed me, and I could not take a second picture of these women. This is again one of those pictures which I wanted to discard. But the reason, after noticing this several times, I like this picture because it makes me think what these people get up to on a day-to-day basis, where this man is headed, what kind of lives they lead, their priorities in life, all sorts of things you can think about. You know, when you sit and notice, I mean, that's why it's very important, as you said earlier, do not discard a picture until you have thought through. Because a picture has a lot of things to tell. When you look at it, I mean, some pictures, yes, you have to bin it because they just don't work. No matter how hard you try, they won't work. But sometimes when you look at a picture on a big screen, it suddenly starts to make sense, as opposed to when you see it on the camera, LCD viewer, you know. So I like this picture. When I saw it a few times, I began to understand more into the picture, how there is an advertisement at the back which says they repair computers and infotech or something like that. And I thought these people have no understanding is what is no understanding of what is written on the wall behind them, because they lead a totally different life. They have no understanding of computers, and so these advertisements make no sense to these people, and yet they have been put up there. So there are a lot of things you can think of, you know, when you look at a particular picture. So in time, I thought this made an interesting picture, and I decided to paste it on my site. And it's a straightforward caption: chai break. Chai, most people understand now throughout the world, it means tea. So it's basically tea break. Yes, they've come for some snacks and tea.
Yeah, I've read a number of things where, about what makes a good photograph and what you should do, and many people say you should focus on just one subject and eliminate any distractions and whatever. But I personally tend to be drawn to photos like this where there are a lot of things going on, and having never been to India, I think this is a really nice slice of what, you know, what happens in everyday life in this area. And I don't know, I just and the guy walking through there, I think, makes the whole thing.
Yes, I mean, there is a lady sitting behind where, I mean, she's hidden because he's walking in front, because the other lady is sitting with the baby is actually talking to the lady. Mm-hmm. That is what we initially wanted to capture. But as I said, the moment that you have is the best moment. So I just stuck with this one because I lost that moment later. Those ladies turned their heads away once they noticed me. This is what happens. You have to be very quick. And so some people are shy. They don't mind you. Mm-hmm. Because India is such a place. People are very approachable, first of all. And if you tell them this is what they will, they will smile at you and give for your camera. But sometimes you don't want that, you see. Mm-hmm. You just want to observe from a distance. You do not want to invade their private space, their conversation. You do not want to disturb them. You just want to observe them. And when you take a picture, you can observe them even after coming home. You look at that picture and observe them. So, yeah. And for example, this advertisement that I'm talking about, the computing infotech advertisement at the, behind the stall, is not something I noticed at that time when I was taking pictures. It's only after coming home I noticed, you know, there's such extremes. On one side, you have this world infotech, computing, technology, and on the other hand, you have these people who have very simple lives. Their priorities in life is to have day-to-day earnings, feeding their children, have maybe some basic education for children. I mean, they would aspire to more, but sometimes they can't. Their circumstances don't allow. So, and as I said, I do enjoy knowing of people's lives, and I have obviously spent a lot of time in Rajasthan and other parts of India as well. So looking at these pictures remind me somewhat of, although I was brought up in a slightly privileged background, we went to good private schools and had better opportunity for education, but that doesn't stop us from observing other people who don't have that much, you know? You feel how lucky you are when you look at them. So, and in time, I mean, I'm hoping through my documentary or through my writing, I'm able to bring these stories to people's attention. I'm hoping I can achieve that, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Do you have any events coming up, any showings being published anywhere in addition to the Ultimate Street Photography Magazine? Oh, just kidding.
Of course, it is the ultimate. No doubt. Yes, I recently had an exhibition, not a solo one. I shared the platform with other photographers in London. We had, luckily this time, the theme was street photography. So I was able to do that in time. I was able to, you know, I mean, I could have easily missed. It was only towards the last some weeks I noticed there was an exhibition coming up and they're inviting street photographers. So I applied and this is how it went. And there were some excellent photographers showcasing their work. And that taught me a lot, you know, that there is so much talent around. So there's a lot of competition also in that sense, and it makes you work that much harder. So yes, that was one of the exhibitions I did, and I am also looking at other avenues to showcase my work. I am looking at, as I said, I don't know if I told you, but it's only recent that I've actually thought of marketing myself. I never thought of this before. I always did it as a passion, not for any monetary gain. I was involved in my own work. a business that my husband has had a real estate business. So when I came to London, I joined him in his business. I was also learning photography. Then I had my children as a full-time mom. I teach them their science and English. And so I am re-educating myself all over again, which is quite fun. So, but this marketing business, I never thought of. This is only first time I'm thinking, since I am spending so much time on my photography, why not I start showing to people what I do and, you know, exchange ideas with other photographers. So now since the time I've started the street photography thing, I have started to meet other people in the same line. And yes, we exchange ideas and we are thinking of ways to market ourselves, showcase our work, and probably do a theme together as well. This is what we are working on. Yes, so I do plan to do more exhibitions and more marketing of my work in future.
Well, when you do, be sure to send it to us. We have a new events and workshop section on our website. And so we're trying to, you know, get the word out about, you know, everything that's going on in the street photography world. So be sure to send it to us. And that goes for anybody. And, we'll put it on the calendar. The there are a lot of really good street photographers in London. And I've spoken to two or three now who belong to the collective, I think it's Street Photography London. Are you involved with them?
No, I'm not. In fact, I have exchanged emails with them recently, but I'm not sure where it's heading at the moment. But yes, I was in touch with them.
Oh, good. They're really, really nice people.
I've seen the work of some of them. And yes, excellent, excellent. And I also recently saw work of Matt Stewart, who, in fact, I'm in contact with him through Facebook now. I have seen his work on Facebook too. But I don't know if you have interviewed him, but there was someone who mentioned his name. So from there, I got to see his work. And his work is very amusing and very interesting. I saw he does street photography very seriously.
Yeah.
And I like this work. So yes, he's a link on Facebook now, so I can see more of his work through there.
Oh, good. Yeah, we'll put a link to their to the collective's website in the article as well. Yeah, Matt, I haven't interviewed him. I want to. I've seen his work and really like it.
Yes, he's good. And another photographer I saw on your magazine was Mark Weiling, is it? I'm forgetting the name. Is it
Marcos?
Not Marcos. Marcos as well. Yes, I saw his work. He's another very interesting. He's extremely funny photographs.
He's funny. Yes.
Thought provoking. Yeah, very good. And another one was Mr. Wiley. I don't know what his first name is. I might be
Matthew.
Forgetting.
Yeah.
Matthew. I beg your pardon. Yes, Matthew. I like his work, and I like to do that sort of work. There has been a period when I did involve myself in doing that sort of work, but I didn't do it through Histogram, is it he was mentioning?
Yeah, Hipstamatic.
Did through the Adobe software that I use, and I have created some images which were very popular amongst my friends. The cinemascopic effect on pictures, and they were very. I like that kind of work, but I don't know why I distracted myself from there and started doing other things. As I said, there comes a time when you want to just keep changing the kind of work you do. But yes, I like listening to him as well. And I could relate to him more because he also is into story writing, short stories, as he writes. So I kind of can relate to him because I do something like that as well. In my spare time, I sit and write stories. So yeah, I like this book. You have interviewed some great photographers, actually. And it's an inspiration, you know, to see their work. I hope someday I can be as good as them.
Oh, I think you already are.
Thank you very much for your faith in me.
So, Sapna, where can people find you online?
I'm on Facebook. I'm on my website. Oh, can you hear me, Bob?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Oh,
sorry, I thought the connection was getting... Yes, I am on my website, sapnasharma.com, straightforward. And, I'm on... Flickr, but I don't know my Flickr account name, to be honest.
Well, we'll put them all in your bio.
Okay, yes, and I can be, I am on Twitter, I mean, wherever I possible, I'm on Instagram, and but I do not upload too many of my photographs on Instagram and other sites, but I do it on my website and also on my Facebook page, which is separate to my profile, and it's called Sapna Ghanshyama Photography, which will open straight away without having to link with me through my profile. And it's just a page to showcase my work. Yes,
Okay.
so I'm easy to be found. Yes, my phone number is there as well, my website address, my email address.
Your phone will be ringing off the hook.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
I don't think you want that.
No, I guess being busy at times is okay, but sometimes you need your freedom to think.
That's right. All right, Sapna, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you being here with us. And we're going to keep a close eye on you and your work and hopefully reconnect again.
Thank you very much, Bob. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for having me for your magazine. And yes, and I hope we'll be in touch, and I will definitely share my work that I am currently working on as soon as it's ready. Yes, I'll post it to
All right, as you guys say, brilliant.
you. Thank you.
All right, thank
Thank
you.
you, Bob. Thank you. It was a pleasure.